Now to voting rights, and a big case this week before the U.S. Supreme Court. The 1965 Voting Rights Act protects racial minorities from discrimination. The case now before the court involves congressional districts in Alabama and whether a map of those districts fairly represents black voters. African Americans make up more than one in four residents in Alabama, but only one in seven districts is majority black. Mark Joseph Stern was listening to the oral arguments yesterday. He's a senior writer for Slate. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me on.
So, Mark, let's first take a listen to some arguments from each side. Dual Ross is a lawyer with the NAACP Legal Defense Fund. He opposed the map, which splits a key black community into two.
Alabama's map cracks that community and allows white black voting to deny black voters the opportunity to elect representation responsive to their needs.
So, Mark, can you talk a little bit more about Ross's argument before the court? What is the case he's laid out?
Yeah, so as you mentioned, only one of seven congressional districts in Alabama has majority black voters in it under the new map. And that's a real problem for the Voting Rights Act, because the Voting Rights Act guarantees equal opportunity to all voters, regardless of race. And proportionally, or by any reasonable standard, it seems as if Alabama should have created at least two congressional districts in which black voters have a real opportunity to elect their preferred representative. What happened instead, as we just heard, is that Alabama essentially divvied up black communities throughout the black belt within the state and it's ensured that many of them would be packed into these districts with majority white voters and then left almost all of the rest of black voters in this one very ugly, sprawling district that was clearly designed to ensure that almost every black voter who mattered would be stuck in this one district and the others would not have their votes sort of fully counted in terms of the Voting Rights Act.
So did Dual Ross argue before the court that this was diluting the voting rights of the black voters?
That's exactly right. We call these vote dilution claims because when black voters band together, according to the VRA, they are supposed to have a real shot at electing their referred representatives. And that's not what's happening here. Instead, their votes are being diluted by all of these other white voters who are sharing a district with them, who are essentially overpowering their votes because in Alabama, we have very racially polarized voting, which basically means that Democrats, black people tend to be Democrats and white people tend to be Republicans.
Okay. And on the other side, Edmund LaCour represented Alabama before the state court, before the Supreme Court, sorry. And he said, if Alabama has to redraw its map based on race, that could actually violate the voting rights law, Section 2 of it. Let's take a listen.
I think a white Republican in Mobile, or a black Republican in Mobile for that matter, who's gerrymandered into the new District 2 and connected with people on the Georgia border, would have a Section 2 claim himself because his vote has been abridged on account of race.
So, Mark, help us understand that argument. Is the state saying changes to accommodate black voters could actually discriminate?
That's exactly right. The state's chief argument is that taking race into account when drawing these maps is itself discrimination that violates both the Voting Rights Act and the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. Alabama is saying that states have to be totally neutral and race blind when they are drawing these maps, or else they risk running afoul of discriminating against voters by taking their race into account in any way, whether it's for a good or a bad reason. That is difficult to comport with the text of the Voting Rights Act, which does not speak to race blindness, but actually demands a race-conscious remedy. It tells lawmakers you have to ensure that racial minorities are given equal opportunity to participate in the political process. That is not a race-blind command. And so what the Alabama Solicitor General is really arguing for is for the court to rewrite or overturn a major provision of the Voting Rights Act. Mm.
And briefly, can you tell us about how a couple of the justices responded, or what did they voice as they were questioning each side? Of course, Ketanji Brown Jackson is the newest justice on the court, and she spoke, yeah?
She provided a very interesting history lesson to Alabama's Solicitor General, which pushed back really hard against this idea that considering someone's race is itself a violation of equal protection. And she actually went into the history of the 14th Amendment back into the 1860s, which is usually something associated with originalism, which is often a conservative methodology. But she sought to show that, in fact, after the Civil War, the framers of the 14th Amendment wanted lawmakers to use race to ensure that there was equality between the races, that it's not a violation of equal protection to consider a black person's race if the goal is to give them equal access and equal opportunity in this country, especially to the political process. So this was a real kind of counterpunch to the prevailing ideology on the Supreme Court, which views any kind of race consciousness as inherently suspect and troubling and probably unconstitutional.
Right. And we should note, of course, that the composition of the court right now is a 6-3 conservative majority, and we will wait for their ruling. Mark Joseph Stern is a senior writer for Slate. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me on.